Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
And
guess what?
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 We have a review.
Yay!
Review time.
And this one's from T. Hodgins. They live in Canada. I don't know why I told everyone that.
Home of the Maple Leaf.
We doxed you.
I'm sorry. This one says, I can't stop giggling. I'm entertained to say the least. People are starting to wonder why I'm grinning and giggling in my office. Can't get enough of your retelling. Thank you, Hodgins.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell Justin Trudeau we said hey.
Hey. And Drake. Actually, no.
No. Don't tell Drake.
Are they from Canada? I thought they were American treasure.
I just watched their documentary.
Actually, Shelby, I can see that for you for some reason. I can see that.
You know, I didn't even know they had one. Tyler was the one that put it on. So
That does make a lot of sense. Yeah.
It's 2024. We should stop canceling Nickelback.
Honestly, that's what the whole thing was about.
They're not bad.
They're not.
I mean, they're not great, but they're not bad.
I think they're like kind of great.
I mean, yeah, like I kind of love them.
I actually like have 5 shirts.
Who's counting, right?
Yeah, they're only in like my top 5 band of all time.
Yeah.
They're okay.
They're actually like number 2, so.
I've actually seen them 17 times live.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Kroeger is my hall pass.
Smash. I don't know if I'd go that far. It's not bad.
But no, they're okay.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit.
And this
sexual
week, we're
content.
Telling Riley all about Choosing Theo by Victoria Avalon. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
4.5. Loved it.
I give it 4 stars, but
is
I have
it a hot
a
topic
hot
or a hot take?
A hot take.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. I like it better than Ice Cold.
What?
Charlotte's upset.
I am upset. I'm logging off.
I like it better.
Podcast over.
I disagree, but we're all entitled to our wrong opinions. I gave it a 4, and I don't love it as much as Ice Planet Barbarians. That's fine. That's fair. Fine.
I think I liked it more because
it's
less
not
alien.
Very alien for how alien it is.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. I was right. Did I say it was alien?
You said it was not Earth. So yeah.
Yeah.
Close.
And I'm starting this week's episode. So our female main character, Jade, she's a landscape designer who has a hard time sleeping. She's washing out her wine glass in the sink when she sees a flash of light outside of her window and she goes to investigate because it's not raining. As she steps out and looks to the tree line, she sees a human-sized reptilian creature
inside.
In her yard. Yeah, she runs for the door and tries to lock it when the reptilian bursts through and then everything goes black after he sprays
it's
her with
nighttime,
some type
right?
of mist.
If you saw something happen outside, would you go outside or look out your window?
If it was a flash of light,
I would
light,
look out
no.
my window and then I'd be like, I'm not going out there.
Yeah. I don't think a measly door is going to stop these guys, though.
No. It's been maybe 4 days since she's been abducted. And at first it was terrifying, but now she's just bored. She's like, I've seen way too many sci-fi movies. Like, I have a feeling what's going on right now. She accepts whatever her fate is. And she just is trying to observe everything that the aliens are doing. So trying to learn their patterns and trying to listen to them, even though she can't understand them. She is wondering why she got taken and what the purpose of it is. And then she wakes up to a sharp pain in her ear and one of the aliens retreating out of her little cell. She learns a couple days later that they're clearly talking about her since her picture is on the screen and she is being sold, but she doesn't understand why. She thinks that they must be getting to their destination though, because they make her change into a sack dress. So they're like holding, it looks like a
they
potato
say, here,
sack.
Pretty.
Pretty.
And they have multiple of them, so she now knows she's not the only prisoner on the ship. A beeping noise comes from the console, and she's suddenly being ripped from her cell. She demands to know what's going on, and then they shove her into an egg-shaped pod and put the can of sleeping mist and lock her in there. She's frantically looking around, and there's nothing in there other than her and the mist, so she grabs it, and she kind of hopes it just works on everything. She's hurtling through space in the egg pod, and a planet comes into view, and she starts having a full-on panic attack, and she just blacks out.
So she's just flying in space in this little egg.
By herself.
They said, bye, have a great time.
Space already scares me, but that, no.
I would do the same. I would have a panic attack and black out. She wakes up with the pod door open and ventures out to find it super similar to Earth, but different. She hears rustling of leaves and quickly gets the sleep spray from the pod. She sprays the creature without looking at it and starts to run when she hears the thump of the body falling to the ground. As she runs, she makes her way out of the trees and sees a faint cityscape in the distance after a large field. She decides instead of crossing the field, since that looks like it's the easy way, she'll take the hard way around it just in case the creature tries to follow her. She gives herself a break on her trek and all the events come crashing back to her and she starts to have a mental breakdown. She didn't have family or friends on Earth and she knows that no one would even look for her. The only photo her coworkers have of her is her ID badge. So she was a solo girl. After her little minty bee, she decides that she's gonna make the alien scum pay for taking her, so she continues to the city. It's been 2 days, and she's no closer than she was before. She's like, this has to be a mirage, because it hasn't changed in distance or anything.
Awful.
And since she is a landscape designer, she knows how to forage for edible plants and food, but this isn't Earth, so she's like, what if I eat something that kills me? As she's taking a break, she hears a noise from about 100 feet away. She hides as a round silver object floats by what looks like a road. She decides to risk it because she knows she won't make it to the city on her own. So she throws the can of sleep spray to stop it, and it turns and comes towards her, and then she like passes out again. She wakes up on a couch in a nice room, and the door opens, and what looks to be a human woman walks in, and she's really happy to see that Jade is awake. And Jade's like, holy shit, I can understand you. She asks Jade to say hello and tell her her name to see if her translator works for Jade's language. Jade says something, but it doesn't translate for the woman, so she's like, I'll just have to get mine updated later on. And that's when she realizes that's what the lizard aliens did to her ear, so that sharp pain was them putting a translator
in. I mean, that's nice, at least, I guess.
Handy.
Yeah. They're gonna say, if you get abducted, at least we can understand each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. The alien introduces herself as Maya. Jade is on the planet Clicania in a city called Tremanta. Maya says that she'll be back soon with food and a couple people to get everyone's translators up to speed. After they eat, they're in a meeting where she meets more people, including the queen. She just randomly gets to meet the queen. Everyone's translators are updated, and Jade explains everything that she knows about her abduction. After she explains everything, she learns that due to intergalactic laws, she's to stay there for 1 year for protection and to be monitored by a resident. Jade is pissed, but they say it's to help them build a new life outside of Earth and learn her surroundings. And she's like, fuck that, I want to go home.
Why?
Like,
you have no friends or family. I would just be like, okay, I'll stay.
But also, scary.
But it sounds like eventually she'll live a normal life.
That's like what they're rules are for too. That's why they were like, girl, you just got abducted, like, at least try
just try. The queen tells her that she actually can't go back home. She could leave the planet after a year, but you can't go back to Earth. It's the law. So, like, the intergalactic laws are made up for, like, level 5 planets or something like that to not know about.
I think Earth is
species.
Level 4.
Four? Okay, thank you. I'm like, it's a some type of level, but Earth can't know about aliens, so that's why she can't go back, because they don't want to risk Earth
coming out. I mean, that makes sense. It's illegal for them to cross Earth borders.
They explain that she can have her choice of who to live with after the couple ceremony tomorrow, and the small male Zika will help her prepare. Once they leave, he fills her in on the coupling ceremony. She's to be a bride, and then she turns and just books it out of there. She punches the guard in the face, and she's like, fuck
Jade,
this, I'm leaving.
Just give it a chance.
Her fight or flight said, fight and flight. So you
fight and flight.
She is eventually caught. She doesn't make it very far. By a male named Nettas. He returns her to Zika, and Zika explains that she's going to be participating whether she wants to or not. The next day, she's brought to a room with 20 other beautiful females. The lights are dimmed, and they all look towards the glass. This is step one. It's the viewing. One by one, males walk in, all beautiful in their own way. She walks up to the one who catches her attention the most. He has tan skin, black tattoos everywhere. He has dark black hair with light green eyes. He's over 6.5 feet tall with massive biceps. She's mesmerized, but notices the other women aren't even paying attention to him. So she's like, are they blind? Like, he's clearly freaking beautiful. After the viewing, Zika asked her if she likes anyone. She starts to argue and cause a scene, and he tells her, you are not going home. So pick someone, or I pick someone for you. And she's like, okay, I will pick someone. Before she picks, he does go into further explanation. Forced marriage is a law there due to less females than males from a plague that wiped 70% of the females out 150 years ago. He explains that mating bonds have a better chance to procreate, but that died out. He explains it's more than marriage, but the last one hasn't happened in 150 years, like the whole mating bond thing. He then explains if women do give birth, 80% of the babies are males, and they're hoping to find another species compatible with theirs, so maybe
that. And the marriage is like a subscription trial, too.
Oh.
Marriage is only 3 months. It's a trial for females to see if the male they chosen is worthy of trying for a child. It's 100% the woman's choice in all matters of the marriage. If she wants to sleep with him, if she loves him, etc. The husband's job is to satisfy his wife in every way, and they even go to school to learn how to please their wife.
Go to school to like a little puss?
It's a very feminist
plan. Oh, that's so cool.
She thinks about it and she says, okay, she'll try it. What's the harm in picking a hunk of a man to spoil her for a couple months?
Yeah, that sounds so nice.
He also tells her if the 3 months doesn't work out, she can live in the Pearl Temple with the other single females because all the single females live there so they don't have to deal with the males trying to fight over them.
Love that.
So they just live with other single women until they pick someone and do their little
subscription.
It's kind of
like a harem, but without the man. It's just like a place where the girls live, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds fun.
If she does live in the Pearl Temple, she has to learn about their planet once a week or try again with another marriage. And now that she's agreed, knowing everything and trying it out, he tells her pick 3 to 5 males so she can get their files and learn everything about them. He then leads her down the hallway to choose. She enters a room with everyone else and is introduced to a female named Asiva. She is part of the Intergalactic Alliance, so her translator has been updated and she can speak freely with Jade. And she's like, I figured you would need a girlfriend here. Oh, she seems nice. Very cool. The viewing starts back up and she copies the Klikanian numbers down of the males that she wants to choose and then they leave. She hands it to Zika and he explains after they discuss her choices, she needs to go to their version of a doctor to do her health scan screening thing and see if she has any injuries or other health related issues that they can heal. And they also need to do a scan for what foods she can have so they don't give her something she's allergic to.
Planet.
Honestly,
America could never.
No.
When they sit down to discuss her options, Asiva and Zika are appalled at one of the males that she picks in particular. She learns the very beautiful one is named Theo, and he apparently is a very good male, so she's like, if he's so good, why are you guys shocked by me picking them? I don't get it. They explain that most females find his scars unappealing, and she's like, what scars? Apparently, all of his black tattoos are scars, and he only does a marriage ceremony, so he doesn't go to jail. No female has ever picked
him.
They're
like, that guy's ugly as fuck. And meanwhile, Jade's drooling. She's like, that is the sexiest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And they're like, that ugly?
That ugly man?
You can have him. Asiva lets her know that he might not know how to act since he's never been picked or had to impress a female, but she's like, don't care, I pick him. She also picks 2 other males. Theo's happy to have another ceremony out of the way so he can go home to his version of a dog. The creature's called a Wazi.
Oh, I love that was him.
He sounds a little scary, but
he's like a dog with a
very
forked
cute
tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that licking you.
He's at his house that he built himself and loves the solitude until a knock at the door pisses him off. He opens the front door to find Zika. He has been chosen, and he is not happy about it. In the past, he was chosen as a prank by women to see the beast up close and personal, and that's what they used to call him because of all of his scars. And he had no choice but to go, or he goes to jail. But Zeke is like, you've been picked, don't know what to tell you, so come on, let's go. Jade gets her health assessment done from the doctor, and she learns the only item she's allergic to on this planet is anything from the Ripsley tree. They fixed her knee and her thyroid gland because she had like a wonky piece of cartilage or some shit, and they offer to remove any of her scars off her body and unwanted body hair. She says that she'll take the hair removal, but to leave two specific scars and a small tattoo that she has. She also gets an elixir, which slows her cell development down, so she ages slower on that planet. And she's like, hey, you're a doctor while I'm here. Can I even have sex?
She said, I want to fuck that man. The doctor laughed as she returned her attention to Jade. There are a few differences, but I believe they'll all cause sex to be more pleasurable, not less. Clicanian females have one main center for pleasure, located deep within our core, and then a great many other nerve endings on both the inside and outside of our sex. You're different to us in that you have two pleasure centers. One is deep within, like ours, but you also have a secondary, very sensitive pleasure center outside your body. I believe it's called a clitoris. A little clitty clit.
A pleasure center. They leave her to her rooms for the night after she gets a little rundown of that, and tomorrow is the next phase, which is called the testing. As she walks down the hallway the next morning, she's super uncomfortable. Asiva explained the testing this morning, and she hears it going on behind every door. So the testing is where the females can test out their males in whichever way they want before they pick them for marriage to make sure that their merits and female pleasure were good enough. She's supposed to visit Feho first, which is her other choice, but he has two other females in his testing room, so she's like, no, I'm not going in there. She's like, just take me to see Theo. She learns that he hasn't updated his translator yet, so he might not respond to her, and then she gets inside the room with him. Inside, he's sitting down blindfolded. She stares at him for a moment, but he stands and starts to undress. He can sense her, and he tenses as he's derobing.
Squaring his shoulders and raising his chin in what looked like defiance, he positioned his body so he was facing her. Jade's eyes widen as she caught a glimpse of his shaft. He was big all over. Big dick.
They always are.
Oh, wow.
Big old dick.
She inches closer to look at him and lifts her hand to touch a scar on his chest. He growls and grabs her, but not painfully. He pulls her close and dips his head until he
sniffs
her neck.
I don't know what it is that when they sniff him. Oof. Oh. Sniff a little harder. He pressed her closer to him, and she felt his erection prodding her stomach. Then he gave the sensitive spot on her neck a slow, hot lick, making her toes curl. Heat flooded her, and she whimpered. His whole body tensed at the sound. He released her and stepped back abruptly, looking ashamed.
Why? Get back there.
Get back over there. She leaves and explains that he smelled her, and Zeke is super confused by this. And he's just like,
you guys didn't smell you?
After the door closed, Theo reached for his clothes. He had only meant to stop her from touching him when he caught her scent. Then it was like he felt trapped and dizzy, and desire ran through his body. And then she whimpered in fear, and he scared her off. Zeke comes in and demands to know what the fuck happened, and he says that he lost control for a moment, but now he just wants to go home. Zeke is like, okay, fine, but you can't leave without your wife. She picked you.
He's like, and no, he's like, she what? Whimpered. She was scared.
He says there's no way this girl picked him unless she's like a spy or some kind of assassin. There's a word and I didn't write it down. What does he do for work?
Missionary?
Mercenary.
Mercenary.
A missionary?
Missionary.
Do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
What's mercenary?
Like a hitman.
Like a hitman.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll get to the bottom of this. I'll figure out why she picked me because there's no way
ugly.
She would like me.
Poor insecure man.
He learns that her name is Jade, and she isn't Clicanian, so he's like, maybe she's not a hired assassin. But when he sees her for the first time, his heart stops. She has fire red hair and ample curves with green eyes, and she's the most beautiful creature he's ever seen.
Theo and Jade get in one of those silver sphere cars. Remember the one that she saw on the side of the road earlier, and she got in it, and she woke up. And while she's looking around at all of the strange technology, she can feel Theo looking at her in a way that doesn't tell her whether he wants to fuck her or kill her. He offers her a drink of his flask, and then she gets a little tipsy because it was alcohol. I think he might be an alcoholic.
I think so.
She starts talking, knowing that he can't understand her, but feels like even if he could, he still wouldn't have responded. And then they finally get to his beautiful home. So she looks around, and it's not what she expected at all. It's like this beautiful architecture with beautiful decor, and it's amazing.
In the forest.
Ooh, that sounds so nice.
And he, like, built it with his own two hands.
He gives her access to the front door so she can unlock it and relock it herself. And then he gives her the grand tour, and she's amazed at how nice it is. He shows her to her room, which is right next to his own, so they don't have to share a room. Theo gets her some of his clothes to change into, and she freshens up, but the pants are massive, so she just uses the shirt as this mid-thigh length dress. When she goes out to the kitchen, Theo takes one look at her and drops the glass he was holding, and it shatters. When he realizes what he did, he picks her up and places her on the island, making sure her feet aren't cut, and summons this robot vacuum to clean up the mess. Jade notices that Theo has a gash on his hand from the glass and tries to tend to it with a towel and get the rest of the glass out of it, and she just starts babbling because she's still sure that he can't understand her.
Jade set the towel away and examined one of the black marks curving around his wrist. "Those markings," she sighed, tracing the mark with her finger. "I'd like to lick every one of them," she said with a wicked smile. Theo leaned in close and said in a low, rumbling voice, "Is that so?"
He understands.
Yeah. I like squealed. At this part of the book, I was like, no, he did not.
He did.
Fuck her.
He's like, hey, I got my translator updated while you were getting dressed. Because she didn't think that he could understand her. So she was just babbling to herself about how hot he was.
He's like, oh, so I am a little cutie.
Ugly old me. He starts rocking his erection into her as he stands between her legs. And he's like, isn't this what you wanted? And she starts to stammer and squirm. And he's like, you'd better stop that or I'm going to come right here. She says, no, they aren't doing this. And he's like, I don't know what game you're playing at, but I want to know who sent you. Were you sent to kill me or what?
He's like, I'm just going to get right to the point.
And she's like, are you insane? Nobody sent me. And he lunges for her, calling her a liar. He knows she didn't pick him for his appearance. And she's like, yes, I did. And he says, just to tell him who sent her and he'll let her go. And she's like, nobody sent me. He says, fine, I'll play your little game. You can pretend to be my wife, but just know if you run, I'll catch you. And I do love a good chase. She locks herself in her room that night and is like, what the actual fuck is happening?
Yeah, she's like, I bet you because you're hot.
I'm not a spy.
I was like, liar.
I'm a landscape designer.
From Earth.
I have no friends or family.
She has a fitful night's sleep filled with wet dreams about a sexy alien man. And the next morning, Theo pounds on her door and tells her breakfast is ready. And when she refuses, he tells her she can either come down and eat or he can carry her. Because it's like his job to make sure that she is filled with sustenance.
He's like, I don't fucking like this either. Just come downstairs.
I'm not going to
prison. She goes downstairs and sees a whole spread of food, and she's like, why are you being so nice right now? And he's like, I told you we're pretending, and this is what husbands do. He apologizes for last night and says if she's a spy, he will find out, but if she's not, then she'll just have an uneventful 3 months and be on her way when it's over. Theo goes for a run with Sibo, who is his little doggy, who has been locked away because females don't like animals in their homes. So when he found out that Jade was going to be coming to live with him, he had to lock his dog away.
Poor guy.
As he's running, he gets an idea. If she's truly just some clueless human, he can tell her anything about the dynamics of husbands and wives, and she'll just go along with whatever he tells her is customary. He gets home and tells her it's time for her to meet Sibo, and she's like, what's a Sibo? And he tells her it's their pet, and it's customary for females to bond with the pet of the home, which is a lie. Females do not like pets in their home. He leads her out to where Sibo is kept, and Jade is hella nervous because she doesn't know what kind of animal this is. Like, could you imagine how scary that would be?
Yeah, awful.
Terrifying. Little does he know, human bitches love dogs.
Fucking do.
Theo is convinced his plan is foolproof, but when Jade sees Sibo, she just says, a dog! And now Jade and Sibo are just rolling around on the floor together, and Jade is like baby talking the dog as he licks her, and Theo is just standing there like, what the fuck?
He's like, who is this bitch?
Yeah, she's like, I love this! Sibo looks like mostly a dog except for a forked tongue, big eyes, and he's huge.
I imagine him to be like a cane corso.
Yeah, with like a snake tongue. She tells Theo that she loves dogs and was actually thinking of rescuing one back on Earth. And he's like, great. She loves animals and she rescues them too.
He's like, great. She's amazing.
She asks if Sibo can sleep in her room tonight. And Theo's like, sure. Because usually they're not even allowed in the house. And she's like, I want this dog in my bed.
I want to snuggle him.
Theo barges in on Jade and Sibo snuggling later that day in her bed and tells her, She needs new clothes. He tells her to order some from this holographic cube thing. And he tells her he already put her measurements in since they were in her file. And she's like, hey, some people like that information private. Thank you very much. And he's like, why? And she tells him that she's a little bit bigger than what is considered the Earth beauty standard.
I love it. They're always putting some curvy girls in books.
Represent.
Yeah.
You shouldn't lose any weight, he said matter-of-factly. Yeah, right. He swung his smoldering gaze on her, voice gone low. He rumbled, I've only felt the soft curves of your body twice, but it's been the highlight of my year, and I haven't seen all of you yet.
King.
Hot.
He walks out of the room when the scent of her arousal clogs his senses. The thick, customary underwear that she was given do nothing to mask her scent, and it drives him crazy. So she has to wear these, like, super nasty, thick underwear.
Like, that's what I was picturing.
Pink. Yeah. I think they're like wool. Ew, or something.
No.
Oh, that's not good for your puss.
He leaves and begins his next plan to uncover her as a spy. She comes out at dinner to find even more food set out for her, and he tells her to taste a little bit of everything to see how she likes it, and then he provides her with more alcohol. He tells her the food is to celebrate tonight because it's a special occasion, and she's like, what's that? And he says, it's time for our first bath together as husband and wife.
First bath?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Take a little soak.
I don't know if I'd want to take a bath with my partner. Yeah. I don't want to sit in their filth, too. I'd rather just sit in my own.
I don't bath, so. You don't know what's lurking beneath the surface.
I love a good bath.
They skeeve me out.
What was that movie where she was, like, in the bath and then there's a hand that comes up and, like, grabs her? Was it The Grudge or something?
The Grudge? It's when she's, like, in the shower. She's, like, washing her hair in the shower and it's, like...
Yeah.
The Grudge was my first scary movie, and it fucked me up.
Mine was The Ring. I didn't sleep well for 7 nights.
It is scary.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Jade is like, I am not taking a bath with you. And he's like, I'm sorry, but it's tradition. And it's not tradition. He says that they do it tonight and then every week for the rest of their marriage. And then she books it out of the house, but he chases her and tackles her down in the sand. You'll find out that he's half Klicanian and then half a different alien race, but this is like a predatory alien race. So he's like compelled to chase whatever runs from him.
Perfect mercenary, honestly. Yeah.
A little scary if that was your partner.
Yeah. And she doesn't trust him. And he's like, I know you're a spy. And then he's just like chasing you.
Yeah.
He lands on top of her and she gets a little soaky. And he just stills. And she says his name. And he puts his forehead on hers to regain composure and lugs her back to the house over his shoulder. Like she just doesn't even weigh a sack of potatoes.
Just a little feather.
He forces her to bathe with him anyway, and she asks about what happened back there. And he says chasing turns him on, and he had to control himself. They start chit-chatting a little bit in the tub, and she tells him how her mom died in childbirth, and she lived with her aunt. He tells her he's sorry, and his mother died when he was young as well. We learn that Theo's mom came from another planet that was violent, and she agreed to stay on Klicania and have their offspring in exchange for soldiers for her planet. And then when Theo was a little bit older, they went back to visit his mom's home planet, and she was killed in an explosion because the country is just completely war-torn, and his markings are a result of that attack. So he was caught in the explosion too, and it turned all of his markings black, and everyone's like, you're nasty.
Because he has, like, childhood trauma.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, fugly.
Yeah. And he's, like, beautiful. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, he's, like, the sexiest.
She tells him that his scars are proof of his strength and resilience, and besides, perfect people are boring. And then she asks him how often he has sex, and he says every few weeks. Some of the females who married pretty boys come by every so often so they can get properly fucked. She quickly changes the subject and says she wants Asiva to come visit. And remember, Asiva is the cool girl that she met when she first was getting checked into the planet. He says, okay, on one condition. She has to fulfill her promise to lick all of his scars.
She said it.
She did say it. And she tells him, okay, one scar and no touching. So he has to, like, keep his hands on the sides of the bathtub while she just licks his scars.
You think he's hot. Just come on.
Just do it.
He did just chase and tackle her to the ground, though.
Yeah, but it was kind of hot.
Smash.
Yeah.
She licked her way up his neck, starting near his Adam's apple. Reaching the area where her sensitive spot was located, she started slowly kissing. When she used her teeth to give him a soft bite, he hissed in a breath. Damn, he smelled good. His skin was warm and smooth. When Jade moved up to a spot just under his ear, Theo's chest started to vibrate and a rumbling sound came from him. Pulling away from him, she laughed. Are you purring?
Oh. He said, brrr.
He's feeling it.
He tells her to back away from him. And she's like, what? And he says, back away from me.
I'm going to lose control.
And Theo books it out of the tub. He runs to his room and jerks off thinking about her titties. So while they were in the tub, he like looked down and her boobs were like in his face. And he was like, oh, God.
He said, I'm going to bust.
And he finally decides he's done trying to prove Jade is a spy, but he needs to stay as far away from her as possible. Meanwhile, Jade is in her room trying to figure out how to convince Theo that she actually wanted to choose him, and maybe he'd even be able to help her get back to Earth. Because she's like, if he's a mercenary, he probably has a bunch of shady contacts who would be willing to, like, go around the rules and maybe bring you back to Earth.
Yeah.
And she also is convinced that Sivo is part dog, and she's like, whoever he got Sivo from took a dog from Earth, so he has connections to get me back to Earth.
But is he?
I think so. It never like confirms it, but it's heavily implied.
Yeah.
The next day, Asiva comes to visit Jade while Theo is out, and she brings Jade the clothes that she ordered from that little holographic cube, and she also brought like a shit ton of other clothes. And then we learn that Asiva is Theo's half-sister. She explains more about the society on this planet, and it's kind of like a communist society where you are given like a set amount to survive on. So you don't technically have to work or do anything to survive, but the harder you work, the more you get.
Okay.
Everything is free. Like any necessities are free. And she's kind of explaining the American healthcare system to Asiva. And Asiva's like, that's barbaric.
Asiva's like, we would never.
She's like, we would actually care for you.
Jade makes a comment about all the extra clothes that Asiva brought with her. Asiva is like, Theo's a very rich man, and if you do not spend his money, it reflects very poorly on him. So you need to start spending his money.
Oh, okay.
We learn that the women leave their husbands and children to go have more husbands and children in order to increase the population. So they'll find a husband, reproduce if they can, and then they'll go leave their families and go start a new one.
Oh.
And Jade is like, wow, that's really sad. The females are very strong to like put their feelings aside to try and keep increasing the population.
Yeah.
Jade tells Asiva about the customary bath ritual that Theo had her do last night. And Asiva is like, that is not a thing.
Sneaky, sneaky.
I wonder if she'll like keep doing it, making him think that she thinks it's still real, but she knows.
Yes. So they plot against Theo.
They're like, okay, let's get him.
Asiva gives Jade a communication device to contact her anytime she needs to and says she has to go get back to her husband and says she'll try and help in any way that she can to make sure that Theo and Jade can have a happy marriage. And Jade says she has an idea. And the idea is like how to punk out Theo since he's been pranking her with the bath and everything.
Get him.
Asiva leaves just as Theo arrives, and Jade tells him she discussed the couple's bath with his sister and was informed about something called female's choice. And Jade isn't opposed to them bathing together, but they'll be skipping a week. And so I guess their plan was to convince Theo that Asiva told Jade that every once in a while there is a night called female's choice where Jade can literally tell Theo to do literally anything and he has to do it. He can't say that it's a lie without revealing that he lied about the bath thing. She then tells him that she has a cut that he needs to heal. So he tells her to come to his room where the healing stuff is, and when they get there he's like, okay, where's the cut? And she says, on the back of my upper thigh. And she's literally talking about her ass cheek.
Yeah. Is there actually a cut?
I think there's like a little one.
She says, I just want you to see my booty.
And his eyes are like bulging out of his eye socket. He's like, her butt cheeks.
He gets hard, and then she starts getting aroused that he's hard, and it's like this whole thing. And he starts telling himself that she's too delicate to be fucked the way he fucks. And then his brain is like, she is mine to protect. And he's like, whoa, where did that come from?
He says, calm down, calm down.
Jade lifts up her dress and he grabs her by the throat. Jade tries to keep herself calm and is regretting her plan to seduce him despite how soaked she's getting. She manages to tell him to let her go, but he says, you need to come, little wife. And he tells her he can sense her arousal, which mortifies her. He rips off her panties and takes a whiff before throwing them to the ground and fully lifts her dress up. Her woolen panties.
He's like, God, I love it.
God.
Jade started to tremble as his hot fingers explored her wet folds. When his slick thumb brushed over her clitoris, she released a strangled cry, fisting his shirt. His hands stilled, and she wanted to whine with frustration. "Look at me," he growled, opening her eyes. She tried to focus on his. He was studying her face carefully. He gave another quick swipe of his thumb over her clit, which caused her to buck in his hand. A deep, humorless chuckle emanated from his chest. "So that's what that is for." When I reviewed the section on human female anatomy in your file, I'll admit I was curious. His smile vanished then, and his thumb continued to stroke her. So responsive, so wet. Jade's eyes rolled back in her head as a throaty moan escaped her. When had she spread her legs farther apart? "It won't take much for you to come, will it, wife?" His other hand slid up her body to palm her breast.
He knows what he's doing.
He do.
I mean, he went to class for it.
True.
She starts begging him not to stop until she's coming on his fingers, and he tells her that that was beautiful. But now she says it's time for her to return the favor, and he starts involuntarily purring again. But he puts his wet fingers in his mouth and tells her not to move and leaves the room because someone is knocking at the front door. It's Zoris, one of the officials of Tremanta. And don't forget Zoris, because he comes up later.
Okay.
And Zoris says he has some new information regarding Jade's kidnapping investigation. The translator was only equipped with Earth English and Clicanian, which means she was meant to come here, which also means it was someone native to Clicania, but there's no record of the ship landing on the planet. He also suggests that Jade may have been in on it. Zoris's eyes widen as Jade walks in on the conversation because he can obviously scent her because she was just splooshing all over Theo's fingers. Mm-hmm. Theo growls that she is his, so back off, and Zoris turns and quickly leaves. Theo tells Jade that her scent is a heavy aphrodisiac that most males can't resist. And he's trying to remain calm, but he is absolutely fuming that this other male scented Jade and is confused as to why he referred to her as his. He cooks her dinner and tells her what Zoris alluded to, and Jade is like, "Believe what you want, I'm not a spy, but you can think I am if you want." And Theo says he has to go somewhere, and he leaves the house. He storms over to Asiva's house and demands to know what this female's choice thing is that she told Jade about. She's like, "No biggie, I just told her that there's one night that she can tell you to do whatever she wants and you have to do it." And he's appalled, but then he tells her about his reaction to Zoris tonight, and Asiva's like, "Wow, you've never been like that with other females. Maybe you just need to let go and see what happens with Jade. Either she's a spy or she's not, but you could at least enjoy yourself while she's here."
Yeah.
She's the voice of reason. When he gets home, he finds Jade asleep on the couch, cuddling Sibo, wearing one of his shirts, and he picks her up to take her to her bed, whispering to her that his life of before ended when he met her.
Theo!
The last few days have definitely been different, and it's changing for the better. They're spending time together and learning more and more about each other, but one topic they will not talk about is his job. She definitely just does not want to set him off and make him think that she's actually a spy. Even though they're getting closer, he's still holding her at arm's length, though. Tonight will be different because it's female's choice.
Yeah.
Theo was definitely anxious, and Jade is just antagonizing him, and she's wearing a tight sheer emerald green dress that almost gives off the illusion that she's naked. She officially decided tonight that she wanted to stay on Clicania indefinitely, and she wants to try a real relationship with Theo.
Wow.
I guess you can say things are getting pretty serious. Yeah,
official.
Every dinner that he makes her, it's all of her favorite dishes that he's learned that she likes, and she's like, "What do you like?" And he's like totally taken back that she even like took the time to ask him, because it's like no one even asked him before what he likes to eat. So they decided that they're gonna have steak tomorrow because that's his favorite.
I think that's so sad that no one even knows what he likes.
He's just a misunderstood guy.
She'll help out around the house, and he's like, "What?"
It's so cute. They're getting like a partnership. I love it. Once they finish dinner, they move to the couch, and Jade told him that tonight with female's choice, she wants to teach him how to kiss. And he was like, "What the fuck is a kiss?" We're aliens. I don't know what that means. So she straddles him on the couch and gives him permission to touch her. So he does, but very, very gently. And also her mission tonight is to break his control.
Yeah.
She tells him to follow her lead and not to bite her too hard. She kisses him, but he doesn't kiss her back, probably because he doesn't know what a kiss is.
Yeah, he's like, "This is fucking weird."
It's not until that she bites his lip that he does like a little gasp. And that's when she like deepens the kiss and swoops her tongue in.
Theo Leo gave a pained groan and slipped his tongue against hers in return. He began to kiss her back, slowly at first, but more feverishly as his confidence grew.
Kissing her.
Oh, they kissing.
Things started getting hot and heavy, and Theo learns very fast. She wanted Theo to take her dress off, and he told her this can't happen. And Jade is, like, sexually frustrated and pissed and asks him why. And he tells her that he can't control himself and that he can't be sure that he won't hurt her. And she tells him that she's not scared of him and she believes that he won't hurt her.
He let out a strangled growl. Don't you think I want to? All I think about every day is pushing you down and sinking into your warm, wet cunt. Then do it, Theo.
Theodore.
Theodore, please.
No, I don't like that. I just think of the chipmunk.
Oh, God, the fat little chipmunk.
He was also telling her that he wants to have hard, rough, dirty, mindless sex. And because he can smell her arousal in his bedroom, that he has to jack off at least 10 times a day just to keep himself from going into her room and eating her pussy. And homegirl is literally like soaking wet at his confession.
She's like, do every single thing you just said.
You can jerk it 9 times and come in once. Yeah,
maybe 8 times and then come in twice.
She tells him she wants him so bad, but she knows that he is never going to be that way with her, not unless she forces him to lose control. And as she's saying this, she's inching her way towards the sliding doors, and then she smiles and says, catch me if you can, big guy, and runs.
Oh, she's brave.
Theo's control completely snaps, and his eyes are totally black, and she's like, oh shit, I totally have to commit now. Needless to say, she literally got 10 steps into the forest clearing, and then he like pounced on her like a puma in a jungle. He was butt ass naked. I don't even know when he started stripping at this point, but like he jumped on her naked.
He said, I'm fucking you as soon as I catch you.
He jumped on her naked and said, mine. And he literally ripped her clothing off, and she was panting with need. Even in his lustful rage, he was still very attentive to her and was taking the time to make sure that she was ready for him and was like preparing for his huge ass alien dick by eating her pussy with his vibrating tongue.
Wow.
His tongue vibrates.
Oh. Yeah, because when he purrs, his whole body's just like.
She felt the crown of his cock breaching her entrance. Inch by inch, he pushed into her, filling her almost to the point of pain until he was seated fully. His hand released her throat but lingered, ready to clutch her again if she moved away. His body settled over hers, his hot breath at her ear. Licking and nipping her neck and back, he used his hand to tease her nipples until she grew wet again.
She put one of her hands over his and he started purring again, and it was like a whole body vibration. He checked in on her, and when she assured him everything was good, they started moving and grooving. She had the best orgasm she's ever had in her life. And he had an altering orgasm as well. And they stayed in each other content long enough that Jade actually fell asleep.
So he's just soaking in her?
They were just soaking.
Yeah. Romantic.
When they get back to the house, Theo brings Jade into her room and she wakes up and asks if he will stay in the bed with her. He was taken back but ultimately agreed, and they spooned. He woke to not a dream. He was like, that was real life. He had a very painful erection, and what does our girl do? She fixes the problem.
Back that ass up.
She enforces the Gluck Gluck 3000. He was like, we don't do that here. And she's like, you do now.
Now we do, baby. His big body arched to meet her mouth as she kissed and licked down his abs, making it clear what her intentions were. When she hovered just over his glistening crown, she peered up at him. Try to stay still, okay? He nodded hastily. Jade took the crown in her mouth, swirling her tongue to lap up his pre-cum. Theo's eyes rolled back and he bit out curses under his breath.
He had his first blowy. He could smell her intense arousal, and that's what made him come. She was in the bath that Theo made her, and they had a few intimate talks, but the most important was when she asked Theo what changed between them, why his guard was down now, and if he still thinks that she's a spy. He says that he doesn't know if she's a spy, but what he does know is that he no longer cares, and that she could betray him 100 times over, and that he would still fall at her feet.
Oh, he's such a sweet guy.
He picked up Jade and placed her at the edge of the pool and told her he was starving.
When I saw you here for the first time, I almost finished right then. He pumped one large finger inside. Her back arched in response and a moan tore from her throat. So tight, he said in awe. I felt you come around me last night. Your little core convulsed around my shaft with your orgasm. It felt like heaven. And when I put my mouth on you, his thumb began circling her clit in maddeningly slow circles. It was like nothing I've ever tasted. I could devour your luscious cunt for every meal and die happy.
He looked at her clit and was like, what is that? And she's like, that's my clit.
That's my button. My nub.
Theo is having so many firsts with Jade, it like makes my heart hurt. He's never smiled or laughed or joked or been so happy this much in his life. He's never had sex face to face with another being before. He's never had a female ride on top of him like Jade has. And also, for the first time in his life, he felt attractive.
Oh.
Yeah, because he usually had to like fuck everyone from behind so they didn't have to see him.
That's so sad.
Tomorrow is the 1 month gathering, and she could tell Theo is holding back from telling her something, and he finally tells her that other males will be trying to court her to pick them at the next ceremony. And homeboy's already turning down every single job to spend more time with Jade, and he's like already planning his future retirement.
Can they stay with their husbands after 3 months?
Yeah.
And they don't have to go find a new family.
They can renew their subscription.
I think that you can like continue to like, yeah, like she said, like renew your subscription. Going through Theo's work notes, Rego, who's like a coworker, messaged Theo saying that he has two guys who held Jade hostage and there's a treachery very close to him and that he needs to contact him ASAP. And Theo decided that tomorrow he will tell Jade he wants her to stay with him, and then he's going to tell her how he felt, and then he would meet with Rego. So he said tomorrow is a big day. Jade's goal for the night was to ignore all other men except for Theo. She wanted everyone to know that she was proud and happy to be by his side, and that she was going to look damn good doing it. She picked an obsidian, glittery, open back black dress, and most Kliklanian don't wear the color black, so it definitely stands out, and it'll look so good next to Theo's scars.
Oh.
They get to the event and get introduced, and the rules are Jade has to speak to anyone that approaches her. And then once she stops getting approached, then she can go back to Theo. And Theo is separated from her across the room at like a husband's lounge watching. So he's like watching her get approached by all these men this entire time. It's like pure agony and torture watching all these other men come up to her talking.
He says, that's my girl.
Yeah, I would hate that.
Asiva goes up to Jade just as Jade tells some hussy who used to hook up with Theo not to ever look at him again. And Asiva sees the same possessiveness that Theo has, and it makes her wonder. Jade asks if she thinks that Theo will let her stay longer than the remaining 2 months, and Asiva is like so ecstatic. She's like, yes. And Jade is super relieved too, because again, like they've been talking, but they don't have this communication because they're both so scared that they're going to scare each other off. Asiva's like, by the way, while we're here, have you noticed like Theo's eyes changing colors? And Jade's like, yeah, that's so freaky, right? And Asiva's completely shocked because apparently it's a huge mating sign, and mating is pretty much extinct at this point. There hasn't been a mating pair for over 100 years.
They're gonna be mates.
Before Jade knows what the eye color changing thing even meant, she just wanted to go be by Theo, and as she was on her way to go see Theo, she was stopped by Zoris. Zoris tells her that he intends to court her because he doesn't believe that she deserves that animal. Zoris is racist because Theo is like biracial.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jade sticks up for her boo, and she's like, that's not an animal, that's my husband, and he's not going anywhere, and then laughs in his face. And Zoris grabs the back of her neck, pulling her close, and calls Theo filth, and the next thing you know, Zoris is getting thrown across the room, and Theo stands in his place with black eyes and clenched fists.
That's his mate.
Theo is completely losing his shit, but it's because his stupid brain saw her smiling and laughing when Zoris was touching her. He knows this isn't really completely him, but he can't pull himself out. He basically was like, I need you right now. I was like, I need a fuck. And she was like, no, I actually don't want you anywhere near me. And she told him to go run off whatever the fuck is going on with him because she wants to be alone. She's like, you need to go figure out what is going on with you because this is not you. So that's what he did. He went on a run and ran until his legs gave out. Her bedroom door opened, but Sibo started growling, and it was Nettis, the big bodyguard who she punched in the face her first few days here. Sibo tried attacking Nettis, and he grabbed him by the scruff and threw him hard against the wall. And then grabbed Jade and carried her out of the house.
No.
I know. Don't hurt a fucking dog, dick.
Sibo.
That's where I draw the line.
They get into a floating car and she asks why. And he tells her he's under orders and she'll find out soon enough. Theo's getting up to his driveway after his run and he's met with Zikas and Asiva. And they want to talk to him about his mating bond. They like give him all the facts and like, your eyes are turning color, your brain is working all weird, you're erratic, you're possessive. And then he's like, oh shit, like she's my mate. So he finally accepts Jade as his mate, and then his body starts changing. There's blue bands circled his wrist wrists and fingers. And then he went to go run for her, and he ran so fast that he overshot her door. So now he's like faster and stronger.
Wow.
So he went to go overshot her door. And when they get to her room, they find Sibo whimpering in pain, and they realize that she's been taken. Theo heads off to the safe house to where him and Rego plan to meet to get the intel. Then he's getting Jade. Jade is led to a secret underground facility in the woods and is met by Zoris. Zoris is the one she used the sleeping spray on initially in the woods, and he's the one who was her initial abductor. So Zoris sucks.
Ew.
And when she sprayed the sleeping spray when she first landed on the planet and she heard a body thud, that was Zoris.
Theo definitely got his vengeance on the two alien guys that were able to track down who initially abducted her from Earth and helped transport her to this planet, and they told Theo that Zoris is the one who wanted her. And now it's a matter of where.
No.
Jade really fucking wants to get out of these restraints Zoris has her in. He has like this plan of trying to save their species by like artificially inseminating them. That's what he's trying to do to her. So she's like, hey, instead of having me strapped down and shoving something in my kitty, let's fuck. If I orgasm, there's a higher chance I'll actually get pregnant.
My kitty.
He's skeptical, but she's like, I'm stuck here. And the only way out is to actually succeed at this thing. So let's do it. She puts the cherry on top to sell it by saying that she only wants it to happen with him. And he has to promise not to pass her around. And he's like, bet, because he has like an ego issue.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'll fuck you.
He starts getting ready to undress her, and she's like, whoa, can we go to a bed? Anyone can walk in. So he kind of tests her by touching up her dress on her hips. So she closed her eyes and pictured Theo trying to get like aroused, and it worked that he could like smell her arousal. And that's when he actually undid the cuffs on her hands.
He said, you're not gonna trick me, gotta sell it.
So Theo's like running, trying to like find her. And every time Theo was going in the wrong direction, the mating bond would send like a sudden sharp pain through him, telling him that he was going the wrong way. Zoris brought Jade through some sort of cafeteria, and Nettis and Zoris got into an argument about not letting Nettis fuck Jade, and Zoris was holding on to her as Nettis ran into him, and they fell to the floor, and it dislocated Jade's shoulder. She scrambled trying to get up, and she saw a knife on the ground. She picked it up, and she started running like her life depended on it, but Nettis was faster, and he lunged on her, but she was able to stab him in the stomach.
Yeah.
But he punched her so hard in the face, and the next moment, she heard a deafening roar, and then Nettis was gone.
Is that her boy Theo?
It might be.
Also, imagine getting punched in the face by just a giant fucking alien.
Yeah, I would immediately cry.
No.
I would be so bummed.
I'd be like, oh man.
Dang it, you punched me. That hurt.
Don't. Darn it.
Theo is here, and he saved her, and Rego is taking her to safety while Theo finds Zoris.
That's his boo.
It's a few days later, and Jade finally woke up. She was in like a little medically induced coma for a few days.
Got her shit rocked.
After they made sure that Jade is healed and mentally doing okay, Asiva dropped the, by the way, you're Theo's mate bomb. And she was like, oh shit. And then she dropped the, you're also pregnant bomb.
Oh!
No one but Asiva, her, and the doctor know. And her and Theo haven't even spoken about children, so she doesn't even know how he will react. And speaking of the devil, he gets into the room completely out of breath, like he never ran so fast to get her. He's like completely disheveled and covered in dry blood. And then he picks up his sister, like he literally like picks Asiva up and gently places her down outside of the room and shuts the door.
He's like, you go away.
He said, I am horny.
They confess their undying love for one another, and she tells him that she's pregnant, and he tells her that he's so lucky, and as much as he's hated his scars, he has them to thank for drawing her to him. It's 5 months later, and the Kuklanian's pregnancy lasts 6 months, and she's 5 months pregnant, and they're about to find out the sex of the baby in front of Theo's whole family and a few trusted friends. All but one, his brother Luca, can't be contacted. They revealed that they're gonna have a baby girl, which is obviously rare. Theo says that Jade has given him so much, a mate, companionship, love, and now a baby girl, and he is whole again because of her. They start kissing, and Theo's youngest brother Izzo was like, what are you guys doing? It looks like you're eating each other. And they're like, we're kissing. The end.
Wow. The end. I liked that one.
So Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give this one 4.5.
I really liked it. Better than Ice Planet Barbarians?
I don't think so.
Yeah. See? There you go. Do you think Theo is sexy?
I do.
Absolutely.
He sounds like a king.
Would you trade places with Jade?
I think I would. It sounds very cool. And like where women are celebrated.
That's like best case scenario for an abduction.
Honestly. Yeah.
All right. Well, next week we're telling Riley all about Pestilence by Laura Thalassa. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what this one might be about.
So we have a man on the cover. Very ripped, obviously. He's in some type of armor. And it does say at the bottom, The Four Horsemen, book one. I feel like it's going to be some type of world where, you know, there is almost like, I guess, an end of the world, maybe, type thing. Why are you rolling your eyes at me? These guys are going to be like the fighters for it. And then he's going to find this one girl, or maybe this girl's going to find him. And he's going to do whatever he can to protect her. And there'll be lots of fighting.
And sex.
And sex. Because he's wearing armor. I don't fucking know. And he's going to ride a horse. How'd I do?
There's okay. A little sprinkles.
Yeah, you had some sprinkles in there. I think if you knew more about the lore of the Four Horsemen, then you would have gotten closer. But you got pretty close. You got close when I rolled my eyes.
Oh, she was okay. Like, not this again.
It's like, cheater. Why are you rolling your eyes at me?
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo!
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.